Welcome, everybody, to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. We'll give you all the news, the rumors of the room.
What?
News, reviews, and discussions, right?
Yeah.
No, the rumors.
Oh, Jordan. You really commit to the bit, man. And you always have.
It's like the longest running gag of our show.
Yeah. You know how Sony has like The Last of Us and God of War as its crowning jewel? That's our crowning jewel.
The room. What else is on the what's on the mantelpiece? A figurine of Kyle.
Figurine of Kyle.
Yep.
And
PS All Stars.
Seeing You Later's there.
And Seeing You Later.
PS All Stars. Yeah. A platinum trophy.
Oh, there's a platinum trophy there. Yeah. Chuck a platinum up there.
All right, guys, today we're going to be answering some of your questions that you sent in. I've selected a few of them, only the best ones, like this one here, which says, Kyle is a complete dick, which is not a question, that's just a fact. But all right, let's get into it. We're right into it here. Okay, What's the worst game you've ever played?
I feel like that. I'm going to have to, give me a sec, I'm going to have to do a tad of research here. Because I'm going to have to look
Worst games of all time.
Worst games of all time.
I'm going to look at my profile.
I'll tell you the worst game I played last year. That was Saints Row.
That's a good one.
That was a shell of a game, unfortunately. It was horrendous in terms of performance, in terms of story, in terms of open world activities. It really was just a bad game, sadly.
Just appalling all round.
Unfortunately, that might be the end of that series, I would say. It definitely didn't sell well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That could be it for a while, anyway.
I've definitely played some shockers, especially for platinums.
Oh, yeah. What about spare parts, Jordan? Remember that?
I reckon I've played worse ones.
Yeah, see, that's not... It's bad, but you can't say it doesn't make it to the worst of all time list.
No, because like it functions. It functions just fine.
I know
when I'm thinking bad games, I'm thinking like games that barely run.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the last like 10 years. I know Alone in the Dark was pretty bad. Alone in the Dark.
I played Alone in the Dark and yeah. I played the demo, which, yeah, I know. But I actually was like, it's all right. But it was kind of boring. But I didn't think, like, a lot of people thought it was, like, one of the worst games of all time. But I thought, it's not too bad. But maybe I just played the demo. They were, like, it was, like, the best part of it, maybe, rather than,
Fast and the Furious, guys. That's one.
Yeah, I never played
Crossroads, yes.
I played some pretty bad VR games.
Rambo from 2014. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that one. That was a bad one. That was
even Terminator Salvation, the easy plat from 2010. That was a shocker.
In terms of the worst games we've played, though, look,
I played most of those personally, but yeah. NBA, what about that NBA game? NBA Live.
So, never played it.
Oh, you never played that?
Yeah.
See, like, you guys don't really play bad games, so
see, here's the thing, right?
Avoiding games that stink.
Yeah, because I don't go for platinums. If I have a bad game, I'll just not play it. But some notable bad games I have played. I don't know if this is the worst, but some notable bad ones. I would definitely say, I think Overwatch 2 was pretty bad.
Come on,
that's
not worst game.
That's ridiculous.
Not worst games. I would say Godfall. It was all right. Destruction All Stars, that was a pretty bad one.
I look at Destruction All Stars, I'm like, that's a solid five or six. Like, I enjoyed the time I had on that one. I didn't think it was that bad.
Rocket Arena was pretty terrible,
so I didn't think that was that bad, and it still functioned. Yeah, I don't know. I don't play a lot of horrible games.
I actually thought Jump Force was pretty
horrible.
Bad.
I'm not gonna play it.
Jump Force.
Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just trying to... Need for Speed Payback was horrible. I thought that was horrendously bad. So that's definitely up there. I'm just trying really hard to think of my past games that I've played. That worst game of all time, I just don't know.
I remember playing a game called Dog Gone Golfing. It had the toughest play. It took so long. And it just grinded me down, that game. Fuck. That was so annoying, that game.
Yeah, I don't have a really good answer for this one.
I would say all the cheap crap where you click a button and get a platinum in 2 minutes.
Yeah, there's things like energy balance and energy cycle. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
Like things like that. And there's a few like, a few of those like Rattalaker games, they stink. Some of them are actually quite good, like Foxy Land. They're pretty good. They were pretty well-functioning games.
What about Rugby 15? You did that, didn't you, Jordan?
I did that, but that was a fine rugby game. Like, it was fine.
I think No Man's Sky...
For what worst is like, I'm thinking 2 out of 10s, but I don't really play those. I'm looking at like 5 out of 10s that I would consider really bad. I remember playing a game on PS3 called Magus or something like that, and that was real bad. That was for a plat. That was shocking.
Yeah.
No Man's Sky, when it first came out, that was pretty bad because there's nothing to do.
But yeah, at the end of the day, you guys wouldn't have played a bad game in years, really. Like bad game.
I'm thinking of the PS5, PS4 generation. I'm not even thinking about PS3 or PS1.
You won't even play a game like Forspoken, which is, six.
Yeah. Don't even have time to waste me time on those.
Or a 3.
I can tell you games that, I just didn't enjoy that I would consider. I don't think they're bad games because I know that other people didn't, but I know that I just didn't enjoy them. Like Killzone Shadowfall. No, thank you.
Really?
Did not enjoy my time with that at all. Didn't even finish it. I think I played an hour of it and was nope. Bye bye.
Why? Wow. Why was that?
I found it super boring and just super not fun.
Didn't engage you?
No, didn't engage me at all.
Generic shooter. Is that what you felt like?
I look at it and I'm like, and that's why no one wants Killzone. Well, that's why people want Killzone because they think back to 2 and 3. They don't look at Shadowfall and go, well, that's why we need Killzone.
Okay. Yeah.
What else? Oh, Valhalla. Like, I just didn't enjoy Valhalla.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Damn. He's not happy right now. Yeah,
but I know that other people did, but I know that I found that game super boring.
I thought The Crew was pretty underwhelming.
Watch Dogs Legion. Did you play Watch Dogs Legion?
Yeah. Oh, Watch Dogs 1. That was extremely underwhelming.
There's a few there.
I don't know.
Yeah, so there's a few to stay away from, guys.
Yeah. They're not real like shockers, but they're just games that I just didn't really enjoy at all.
Although I would, don't stay away from Valhalla, guys. Great game. What game franchise would you like to see a movie or series of, and why? The Last of Us is a good one. That's already out. God of War is coming.
Coming. As well. Horizon is coming.
Uncharted was turned into a movie. So a lot of Sony properties, Gran Turismo. But what's one that you guys would like to see that hasn't been done? I would say I would reverse it for a question, and I would say I'd like to see a Blade Runner game, third-person shooter.
Yeah, that could be fun.
I know I've turned the question on its head, but...
That's right. We could give an answer for both.
Yeah, if we want to stick to what game franchise would you like to see a movie? I would actually love to see, just because it is somewhat of a blank slate, it's not confined by much lore, and there's a lot you can do, probably Infamous.
That was mine.
I really think... I know we're sort of at the end of the whole superhero genre, but there's so much you could do with that lore that's not heavily linearly driven. There's just a bunch of things you could do, even in different countries. It doesn't have to be Seattle or America. It could be completely different. Yeah, somewhere else, because you're assuming there are those people all over the place, right?
Mm. Yeah, if it was going to be an Infamous movie for me, I don't want it to be Cole. I think of Infamous, and the thing I loved about it most wasn't so much Cole. It was more the idea of it all and the idea of the world. So I would really love them to do something in that vein. The Last of Us as a show is amazing. As a adaptation, obviously it's amazing, but we can just throw that out there. Just as a show, it's amazing. And I think it's because the story of the game is so incredible. But if we didn't get a show of it, I would have been fine, because the story in the game is so great. If there's any other adaptations I can think of, I'd love it if it just took the idea of the game and then sort of made its own thing. And that way we don't have to worry about people getting so angry if it doesn't adapt exactly what it is adapting.
It doesn't necessarily need it, Last of Us. But then again, they are fleshing a few different characters out within the show, and I'm discovering some new things. So, you know, I've been enjoying it.
I feel like I'm just trying to think. When I think of video game movies, I'm trying to think of games that have great lore. Like, they might have a crappy story in the game, but if they have all the building blocks, then someone could spin it into something good. So for me, I think of something that has a really cool world, but didn't necessarily have a good story. I'm thinking of like I would love to get like a Mirror's Edge. I thought that story is pretty bland, but there's such a cool world cool out idea. There. Yeah, cool idea. Something like a parkour. How can they do it? I remember there was that movie that was completely done in first person as well. I don't know. I forgot what it was called, but you know, there's just something you could do there. I would really think they could do that. Stay away from Faith and all those characters, the runners, the concept of that, the parkour, that system, the oppressive dystopian world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
I know this is a recent game, Dead Space. That'd make for a good
Dead Space make for an excellent movie.
That'd be, yeah, great one, Dan.
Probably film over TV. Ghost of Tsushima, I think they are working on a film for that, so that's a good one already.
Ghost would be good, yeah.
I also like the idea of Crysis as a film.
The graphics.
Yeah, Crysis could be a good one, especially because that first one seems quite it's such a PS3 game. So I know that it was originally on PC.
He's just an epic character too. I think it'd probably end up being in a superhero sort of movie, but it could be a bit of fun.
Do you know what I would love to see? If they could give it the Last of Us treatment, but for a movie where it's done really well, faithful adaptation. I honestly would love to see Far Cry 3, just to see Michael Mando back as Vaas, and that would just be such a insane, like, cool thing to see on screen. I think that would
TV
be
or movie?
Yeah.
Movie. The question was movie. Like, just seeing a movie with Vaas as the villain, everything else they could be flexible about, like, you know, Jason, the protagonist, the whole world, but
just keep just him,
Vaas as a, yeah, the island. Yeah, that'd be sick.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
No, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
What game would you guys like to see a sequel for?
My one's going to be super unpopular, I think, with most people. I want to see a sequel to, I think it was either Team Ninja or Ninja Theory's DMC Devil May Cry that they did when they sort of rebooted it.
The black haired one.
Yeah. So he started off black hair, and then at the end of the game, spoilers for that game, at the end of the game, he ends with white hair because of things that happen throughout the game. And I think that turned a lot of people off because they thought that. They were like, you know, typical gamer outrage. Oh, black hair. Oh, I can't believe they're doing this. Play the game. I remember getting in an argument with someone one day about this. No, he doesn't change his hair. And I'm like, dude, I've played it. I know how it ends. He ends with white hair. But it's so ridiculous.
I find it crazy that it's same with Dead Space. Some people just don't like the game because of one of the face models. It's the most dumb thing you can think of. How does ruin your gaming experience? What someone looks like.
They're the same controversy for Marvel's Avengers. This looks too not enough alike the movie characters. And I'm like, that's such a stupid criticism because the video games, there have been so many different Marvel adaptations. Oh, this doesn't look like Chris Hemsworth. This doesn't look like RDJ. I'm like, but the way they're drawn in the comics are so different. The actors are trying to represent the likeness of the comics. So that's what the games are doing. They're not trying to make the likeness of the movies. They're trying to make the likeness of the source material. And I thought... That's so silly. Like, Dante, I can understand because, let's say they didn't know about the whole white hair at the end. They're like, no, Dante should have white hair. This is how our character is represented. And they want that. But the Avengers one, it's silly because the movies aren't even the source material.
Well, that was with the Hulk in that game. It was Bruce Banner was Troy Baker. Didn't care what he looked like. It was that it was Troy Baker's voice. And I couldn't get that out of my head. Now, I was hearing Troy Baker not Bruce Banner. What were you going to say, Jordan?
That's a game that I loved, and I've tried to play the original DMCs and the new one, and I just could not get into it. Even DMC 5, the gameplay is not what I because that DMC Devil May Cry was my first one, because that was my experience, you know, when it's like hard to go back and do the old stuff, and then even when just didn't vibe with me. I would love a sequel to that because it ended in a really cool place. And then there was a there was a, oh my God, there's so many D's and C's. Then there was a DLC that came out at the end as well for Virgil, which was Dante's brother. And then that ended in a really cool place. And it's like, well, the sequel would have been awesome, but we just never got it, which is upsetting for me. So yeah, that's my sequel I want.
And what was yours, Vi?
I'll give you one. Do we even have to ask
it? Don't say it. All right, please. No, I'm begging you not to say it.
We PlayStation All-Stars, a Battle Royale 2. And I, one day, guys, if there's popular demand, I'll make an episode on why there needs to be a sequel, the wish list, the mistakes they could have fixed, everything about it, and why it's would be such a good time to release one. That definitely, I think, deserves a sequel. Underrated, underappreciated. They made a lot of mistakes that I think easily fixable mistakes. It wasn't like this game was just a bad idea. It's just they made a lot of stupid decisions they could have fixed. And I feel like if they did fix it, they'd have such a good product. And that's, look, I'm not drawing the same parallel with stupid decisions, but I feel there's a lot that game had. And I think of a game like Kena, when we were talking about Kena Bridge of Spirits, like, that game has a lot of potential in its animation, the story, the world, and they can just, the mistakes they had in that game where it was too bare bones, the combat wasn't that good, there was nothing else really to do, but it had a good story, had a good animation. It's like, yeah, just iterate on that product, learn from the mistakes and build something really good. I feel like All-Stars could do that with new IP, an actual story mode, great, you know, like I actually did like the level 1, 2, 3, the gamble mechanic. So I just feel like there was good foundation. They could do a lot more. But then the other one I would really love would be either a Metal Gear Solid 1. He said sequel, not remake. So I'll stick to sequel. I actually want, this is going to sound silly, but a proper sequel to Metal Gear Solid 4, because I think the Phantom Pain, which is MGS5, so the way the Metal Gear timeline works.
Keep dreaming, man.
Oh, no, keep dreaming. The way the Metal Gear Solid timeline works is Metal Gear Solid 5 was meant to be the bridge between Big Boss's prequel story and Solid Snake's like current story, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, and Metal Gear Solid 5 didn't have that, right? It didn't actually, it wasn't what I wanted in terms of bridging the gap and bringing it back to where Solid Snake will fight Big Boss in, you know, the first two Metal Gear games, or, you know, Metal Gear 1 and 2. So I would really love a proper sequel where we actually see the downfall of Big Boss. We see the introduction of the Les Enfants 3 project, that sort of stuff, where they bridge that gap, which we didn't get in Metal Gear 5. So that's probably the two, I would say. And yeah, what would you say, Dan?
I'd say Red Dead. It might seem like a silly answer, but because they're so wrapped up in GTA, they might not ever go back. I hope they do go back for a third game. Whatever that is, because the first, you know, 1 and 2 are probably two of the best games ever made. So I definitely would like to see them do that. And also Mad Max, I would have liked a sequel. It's probably too late now because it's been like 8 years. But even if they remade that series or that, and then you've also got Callisto Protocol, which may not get a sequel, but I still would like it too.
Yeah, I reckon that could. I reckon there's enough.
There's a chance. Yeah. There's a chance.
Do you know what? I think the fact that Dead Space has done so well, there's a chance that Callisto will get a sequel because an audience there for it. It just, like, I haven't played Callisto yet. Because I'm enjoying Dead Space so much, because I'm playing Dead Space at the moment, because I'm enjoying Dead Space so much, I sort of want to check Callisto out, even though it didn't review amazing. Like, it still had good reviews. Like, what is it? 75 Metacritic? That's still good. We just have a very... a very high bar for what amazing is. So I would like to give it a go, but the better that Dead Space does, there's more of a chance I can see that Callisto will get a sequel because it shows that there's a market there that will buy it. And just probably a few of those things just need to be tightened and tweaked, and then you've probably got a good sequel in your hands.
There was there's an interesting list I found where it's good game sequels. Obviously, we're sticking to console, so we all have probably dreams outside the console space for different games. But I want to read these to you because some of them, I'm like, this would be really good. And I feel like the first one, Dan, you would really resonate with, and Jordan too, a sequel to Simpsons Hit and Run.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
That should have been my first answer.
One that I would like that was mentioned, I didn't even think about it, was a sequel to Star Wars Republic Commando, which was like a tactical shooter. You could stack up, you could breach and clear. It was like this real tactical.
Great idea.
Where you were like clones. I think Ubisoft, who do Ghost Recon and stuff, I think Ubisoft did develop Republic Commando. I think they would be, they would nail it if they could go back to that Ghost Recon tactical roots and get a deep Star Wars game about like four clones and just their journey, sort of what you have with the Bad Batch in on Disney Plus right now. So that's a good one. People also wanted The Order, a sequel to The Order, 1886. I think that would be good.
That could be a nice to have, but not. Yeah.
I loved my time with that game, even though it was 4 hours. Those 4 hours were fantastic.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's sort of like the Knights Templar, like they still exist, right? Yeah, the Court of Camelot still exists. That kind of reminded me of that Netflix show. What was the one with what's her name, Dan? Charlize Theron. Is it Last Night?
Is it the Old Guard or the
Old Guard? The Camelot Knights, like they still exist. Obviously in a different future, and yeah, I just love that idea because I love, like, I'm a huge fan of Merlin the show with Camelot and the Knights, and I think that's a cool idea. And they're like in this different future. I still remember the first time we saw the trailer to The Order, and we were like, "Yeah, this is gonna be insane." And then everyone is just became a glorified tech demo. But then everyone who played it said, this game has so much potential. It's so beautiful. It's such a good story and lore. It sucks that they couldn't actually make a game of it. And this is all we got. And even going back to the previous question of a movie, I'm like, this would be a great idea for a movie as well. But I would love to see a sequel to The Order actually done right, where it's a fully fledged game with deep story, great characters. There's so much richness you could get with Camelot, with Arthur, like Merlin, Percival, you know, Lancelot, those sort of things. I just think, man, they could make something really special.
Probably jumping ahead on your list. I bet you this is on there. Well, I would think it's on there. But Days Gone, I would love a sequel to.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, so many little things in that game that needed to be fixed, like the length needed to be fixed.
You mean make it longer?
No. Make it much shorter.
AC Valhalla length? Is that what we're talking?
No. Make it much shorter. Actually have a motorcycle club and not just you and your mate on a bike.
You know what you want, Jordan? You're actually asking for a Sons of Anarchy game.
Yeah, that's what I want. But that's what we were told the way it was marketed was it's Sons of Anarchy meets Walking Dead, the two hottest properties at the time. And we literally got two dudes on a bike. That's not a motorcycle club. That's a Sunday afternoon.
The best part I would say that everyone says about Days Gone, the mechanic came in far too late in the game, the horde mechanic. It wasn't even like a main thing that was in most of the game, right? It sort of came towards the end game.
The bigger hordes were added, like the huge, huge hordes were at the end of the game. Yeah.
And I just feel like, there was just such a good, there was such good groundwork with the first Days Gone. Make it a better story, implement a better horde mechanic, bike mechanics, and they could make something really special. Obviously, it felt trapped to the Sony Metacritic curse. If it's a yellow, Sony will shut down the project.
I thought Days Gone was a 9 out of 10. I think the
launch screwed it over, didn't it? When all the reviewers got a buggy game and they didn't have enough time.
I played it in review and it was buggy for me and I still loved it.
I just feel like that game could have been in the green if it came out. Yeah. It's a bit unfair, I think, on Bend. But the other one, Jules, I was going to change game.
No, that's fine. All I was going to say was I enjoyed Days Gone, but I think it was like, what did it end up with on Metacritic? Like between like a 70-ish?
Yeah.
I reckon that's exactly where it belongs, but I enjoyed it more than that score, if that makes sense.
That's fair enough. I still enjoyed it.
Move on. What's the next one on that list?
So I was going to say one more game because you guys are talking about Red Dead, which would be a Bully sequel.
Yes, that would be great.
A lot of people would want a Bully. And
I wonder whether a Bully sequel could even happen now.
I know. I just feel like you can't.
There's all sorts of issues with that. Yeah,
there wasn't perfect. And then just some of the things that you do in the game, unless you were like protecting kids from bullies, see that being a thing, which you sort of did.
Yeah, become the head bully.
You sort of did unite the school. Much of it was called Bully. It was because you were at Bullworth Academy. And so you did sort of unite the school as you went up against the jocks and the nerds and all that sort of thing.
But do you know the funny thing is, I think nowadays bullying is so different. In our landscape, it's more electronic. It's cyberbullying. Mm-hmm. It's bullying through social media and stuff. It's like, you can't really replicate that in a game. So would you, if you'd stick, yeah, you got to sort of stick back to the physical bullying, right? Like of the old days, the locker room and all that. But then people nowadays, teenagers, they just wouldn't relate to it. The way bullying happened, I feel like the way we related to it growing up younger, where bullying was more physical, confrontational, you just, kids nowadays wouldn't resonate with a new bully game because to them, there's different ways to bully now. It's electronic, it's cyber, it's not this.
That could be a cool way to incorporate, like there could be some cool things you could do in that game. Like you've got a phone on you and you get a message where it's like help the, you know, they're attacking the nerds on the oval or whatever.
Mm.
That could be cool. But yeah, I reckon it'd have to change. And I reckon because they were like kids as well, does this send a good message?
Yeah.
I reckon it'd have to be like in college or something.
But then college, like no one gets bullied at like university.
All we really want is we want like a similar vibe. I think having a more grounded Grand Theft Auto would just be fine, where you're not like in helicopters and stuff. Like just put us on a campus somewhere.
And it doesn't have to be relevant to the current day and age. We could just want like an old style bully where it's just that classic bully.
Put us in the 70s or something.
Yeah, put us. Yeah, exactly. Put us in the 80s, 70s. That would be pretty cool.
They're not going to do it, guys. It's too. It's a PC world, sadly.
It's too controversial.
Yeah.
But then,
although Rockstar would probably be the ones to do it, they don't give a fuck about controversy. Yeah,
they could get away with it. I did want to say one more, just because it's a recent game, and you know, it's not like this game probably won't get a sequel, but I would really love to see a sequel to Sifu. Like more worlds. I would love to see a co-op mode. I would love to see an expanded story. I just really fell in love with that game, and I would really just love to see a sequel to Sifu where it's, just everything improved, and I would just want co-op. I really would love to have a co-op mode, an endless mode, more of that sort of arcadey multiplayer feel, as well as a really good main story with main characters, maybe improved camera, improved upgrades, that sort of thing. The combat was pretty good, but you could always make it better. I just see that game could be something really special.
I would love a different... I wouldn't want to see a continuation. I'd want to see a different character or different set of characters with the same mechanics and everything.
You'd need the pendant, wouldn't you, I guess?
Yeah, they could make it work.
Yeah, they could write it in.
All right, next question. If you could change anything from the previous two Last of Us games, what would you change?
That's a very good question.
Oh dear. Cat amongst the pigeons here.
Spoilers. Don't say Joel's death. I mean, that's so obvious.
I don't know if either of you agree with me here. I have no problem with that at all, because from the get go, when the trailer started dropping for this game, that was what people were saying. And so when Joel was talking to Ellie about what are you going to do, kill them all, what's it about, vengeance, this, okay, we're not seeing Joel actually say this, we're just hearing it. Surely this means that it's either going to be about her mum or about him. So when he died, as much as it was a shocking death, I wasn't personally shocked that it happened. I was maybe shocked the way it happened, but I wasn't shocked that it happened so early, because I had already sort of committed to the idea that he was going to die. So I'm not, that doesn't offend me that happens. I know it offends some people, but yeah, no, I'm just like, that's not something I'll change. I don't know if I would change anything, if I'm honest, because like, I love the way the story was told in number two. I love the way that the whole thing's flipped and the way that you get to the end. And like, I don't know if you guys were like this, but like, I got to the end and I'm playing as Ellie and I'm like, I don't even want to do this. I don't want to do this as Ellie, because I'm feeling one way for these other characters, and I don't want to do what Ellie wants me to do, which I think is the genius of the way that story is told. So yeah, I don't know if I'd change anything. I wouldn't, maybe spoilers for the show. I won't spoil the show, but the stuff we saw in episode 3, I'm like, that would, I don't know how you could do it in incorporated in, maybe fleshing that out a little bit more in the game. Could it be cool? But yeah, I don't know.
I might change how Ellie absolutely obliterated all of Abby's friends, like the pregnant girl and that. That was pretty visceral. That felt very
that was
very nasty, you know?
Just kill the dogs.
The dogs and everything, man. It was crazy.
I think for me, so the question said the last two Last of Us games. So with Last of Us 1, I think what Jordan said, where, because I just came fresh off the cutscenes, like, because I'm just watching all the cutscenes on YouTube as a way to get ready for the show. There were maybe two to three main stories that would be like, yes, that'd be sick. One of them Jordan said was Bill. The other one was, I forgot his name.
In the sewers? Is that him?
The guy and the kid?
Oh, no. Henry and someone.
Henry. And I don't know, just more of a flesh out. Like, that was great. And I actually really liked the way that ended. It was really sad and sudden. That would have been cool to see more of them. So fleshing out those little stories, when we see, obviously, Nolan North's character, David, and that whole thing, that was insane. That would be really cool to see more of that. And just fleshing out those little pieces. And like Jordan said, some of the lore and the things you find, like Ishmael and those letters, or maybe seeing some Firefly stuff. But I think The Last of Us 1 was damn near perfect, because I think they actually got the right amount for Bill, right amount for Henry, right amount for David, because it was paced so well and the game wasn't bloated. And they hit those really hard moments where Henry killed himself, or David got absolutely mauled by Ellie and you saw that sadness. Or with Bill, it was just that cameo and that was sad that you saw his partner die and all that sort of stuff. So I think they did it really well. So I feel like there's not much I would change from The Last of Us.
I'll let you get to number two, Vi. One idea that could be really cool is, instead of changing I think the flow of Last of Us 1 is really good, like the pacing of it all. What could be cool is if they did like a DLC and it was like Bill's story, Henry's story, David's story maybe, and you play as those three characters for like 2 hours, and like you see Bill and is it Frank? Frank? Is that what that
yeah,
is?
Yeah,
Frank. So you see Bill and Frank, how they meet, that sort of thing, and you play through that for a few hours, and then you get a thing with Henry and his brother where you play through
Henry
them,
and Sam.
Henry and Sam. Maybe up to the point where they meet Joel and Ellie, or maybe them escaping into the city where they meet Joel and Ellie.
Do you know who plays Sam, guys?
No. Is Sam the adult or the kid?
Miles Morales actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nice.
That was his first big role.
The thing, I actually really agree with Jordan, but then I also think of the fact that, like, it's actually really hard for me to play a DLC when I know the ending. Especially when I know the ending is so tragic, because they all die tragically. Bill, his partner dies. David gets his head caved in with a machete, and Henry kills himself. So they all meet such tragic demises. I'm like, me playing a story knowing that they're going to die so tragically where there's like no hope. I don't know. I don't know if that's something I would be motivated. Well, that would motivate me through the story. Okay.
Does anyone not have a tragic death in this game? Yeah, serious? Does anyone die peacefully?
Die peacefully. Maybe Tess. Nah, Tess died.
That wouldn't say that's peaceful.
Marlene, I will say Last of Us 2, all right, this is, if anyone wants to go back to the spoiler cast where we do talk about it, I do have a lot to say about what I would change. First of all, I agree with Jordan. Like, I actually liked where Joel died. I liked that it was flipped on its head. Like, let's say Ellie was Joel's moral compass in Last of Us 1, and it was almost like Joel, or his memory, was Ellie's moral compass in Last of Us 2, and it was flipped. And it's sort of that great revenge story, that Moby Dick-style story. How far would you go for revenge? In the end, yes, Ellie maybe turned, like, didn't fully... She didn't kill Abby, so in the end, she chose a good choice, but at what cost? She lost Dina. She lost so much. Everyone around her died. She went through all of this, killed so many people. Even though she made a good decision at the end, it was at the cost of all these other bad decisions. And I just liked the tragedy of revenge and, you know, how far you would go, and how in the end she lost everything, Dina, her kid as well, and all that. And she lost a life of happiness. She lost her fingers trying to play a guitar, right? Like, that was tragic as well. And Ellie's obviously really good at guitar, and she can barely play it because she lost her fingers. And I thought that was just such a good tragedy. But I think the one thing for me is I think it wasn't executed, the story. Like, I love the story, I wouldn't change a thing, but the way they executed it, where it was, let's play as Ellie for half the game, then let's go to the end of the story, but then do a flashback and let's play Abby's half, where it was this real whiplash. It was like, oh my gosh, I have to start all over again, have to play as a person I don't like, that sort of thing. Where I would have liked it where if they weaved the chapters in, yes, make Joel's death shocking, but if they maybe had introduced the fact that Abby's the flashback with Abby and her dad, right? Hide the fact that Abby's dad was the surgeon before Joel's death. So he's just had this, and then maybe reveal that later. But it's just that if they weaved it in and out, Abby meeting Lev, Abby and her dad, Abby like on the chase for Joel, and weaving that in and out with Ellie's story and make it side by side so that it when it culminates together and you have the sympathy for Ellie, you have the sympathy for Abby, and you understand where they're both, and then it culminates together rather than
you
what
say
we've
that,
got.
But why did they do it the way they did it? Think of it in that scenario.
Yeah, I wonder whether because obviously when you switch to Abby, it's quite jarring because it's like, why am I playing as her? I've been spending my whole game doing this. I don't know, because you want to kill her. I wonder whether it wouldn't, the effect that you get at the end of the game, like,
wouldn't
you know,
work.
I don't think it would work. No. I think that it was designed that way so that you go on that journey of like, yep, we're going to get her. Yep, she's here. Oh, what? Now I'm playing as her? And then you go through that and then you sympathize with her.
Yeah, it's making the reader...
It could be done, but I think the story would have to be changed a little bit to make it work, but it could still be done.
Yeah, I just think the whiplash... Well, for me, I actually like I didn't mind it, right? But I just know that that could have been a criticism, and I think... The other thing I would change, maybe this... Actually, rather than addressing that, of weaving it in, maybe the other thing I would... is that I think... that The Last of Us 2 at times was a little bloated. And when I say that, there was just one too many...
Too many bloaters.
Too many bloaters. No, I was just saying, there was one too many... You know how, like, Last of Us 2, you really saw it where you just... every level transition would be, here's a couple of houses and all the enemies. You got to clear that and go to the next area. Clear that. Yeah. There's just too many of that. Like, there's just too many...
I felt like in every instance... There was always just one too many things.
Yes. Every instance, George, you nailed it. Because I'm like, why am I going to this other house and clearing this again, waiting for the next story beat? And I think it really started to show itself where it's like, okay, like the best part about a game is when you don't recognize the formula, when you don't see that game design formula, you don't realize.
Is that a problem?
I was seeing that.
Is that a problem with the pacing or with the gameplay? Is the gameplay not versatile enough?
I thought it was pacing because I think that bit when you're chasing Tommy, when you're as Ellie, when you can hear the explosions and you're sort of chasing it, it's like, oh, we're going to get there. There's another explosion. I'm going to go through another thing of houses to try and find him.
So what and if like, it, instead of combat scenarios, it was like, you know, those action set piece. Is that what you wanted more of replacement? Or you wanted to strip down
less.
A few of
I think it could just be trimmed
encounters.
A little bit.
Trimmed. The gameplay was fun. See, and this is why God of War 2018 was so nailed it because its beat to beat was phenomenal. It's like you have a lot of good gameplay, but the story, the cutscene to cutscene moment pacing was so good that it just kept you going, kept you wanting more. And with Last of Us Part 2, where you were so like, I had this sense of urgency. I need to find Abby and kill her. And then especially when you play as Abby and I'm like, okay, I got to quickly go to the end because you want to see that final fight. And that was that whiplash. But then there's just one too many. It's like there's this urgency, but then they're slowing you down by making you do segment after segment after segment. And it's like, you could just have one or two. It doesn't have to be three or four.
People got burnt out by the last 2 hours where it's full on heavy combat with the guns, the assault rifles.
I think that's what they gave you, the assault rifle to speed through it, the silenced submachine gun to make you run through it a bit faster. That's what I
found when we got to LA. That was when I was like, oh my God, is this still going? Is it still doing this?
I think the story of The Last of Us is damn perfect.
And then when you get to the Rattler thing, I'm like, that was too long too.
I never thought that, guys. I got to say, I never thought this is going on too long. The only time I felt the pace was the end.
I noticed that I was like, wow, this is long.
It overstayed its welcome a bit, or it didn't need to warrant a 20 hours. It could have just been 18, 16 hours, 15 hours, let's say, 16 hours, where... keep the story, but trim the gameplay. So that was my two things. So maybe weaving the story in, but I actually, like, once you guys actually said the reason why they did it, it kind of makes sense to me now. I'm like, yeah, you're right. But then maybe trimming the gameplay a bit.
Yeah.
There's
one more thing I'd change. I'd change the leaks before the game came out. So we wouldn't have to deal with this horrible discourse that we now have to deal with this game.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so next question. Is Elden Ring a good game for a casual gamer? I'm scared of it. That's an interesting question. I would say it isn't a great game for a casual, personally, because Unless you're a casual gamer that's willing to let this open up to this game, that you're willing to give it a crack, and you know that it's going to suck you in for possibly 50 hours, 100 hours, if you're open to trying something new. But most casual gamers will probably get scared off. I know a lot of people that went through the first boss and gave up. It got too hard, too long, too much going on. So,
look, the interesting thing is a game like The Witcher 3 was wildly successful, even though it was a 100-hour game. And that had a lot of, like, obviously the success that would have amounted to a lot of casual gamers getting it. I think the Elden Ring, though, if you think about it, Dan, it is wildly successful, more successful than any Soulsborne game. The success of Elden Ring, I don't think anyone expected it to be as insanely big and successful as it was. And I think that's a lot to do with a lot of casual gamers or people who don't play Soulsborne, who think that Soulsborne are for the hardcore. They actually tried Elden Ring, and it was, I think, a lot more accessible for gamers as opposed to the regular Soulsborne. There was a really nice open world. There was, you know, the whole fact of Bloodborne and the Soulsborne is very linear. But with Elden Ring, you can go to other places to level up. You know, so you can actually take your time to upgrade yourself if something's too hard, where maybe in the more linear Soulsborne, like, you can't really do much. That's what you're stuck with. But I agree with you, Dan. Like, I think Godric, the first boss, got everyone. But then once you pass him, then the rest of the game, you understand. Like, you understand what you have to do. You have to level up. You can't just beeline it. You have to, yeah. So is it good for a casual gamer? If you have the time, it is. If you have the time, it is, because I could say the same for The Witcher, where you would think casual gamers don't play for 100 hours, but then everyone played The Witcher, everyone played Skyrim, and those are long games. And I think Elden Ring is the same. The difficulty is hard, but I would say, like, I have friends that don't really play games and they played Elden Ring, right? They don't play story.
Why
games,
did they? Because of the buzz.
Because of the buzz. So I think it is good for casuals. If you're scared of it, as you know what? It's not the end of the world if you get it, but you can't pass Godric. By that time, you've played 20 hours.
I saw a stat, only 7% of people that bought it finished it.
7%. They're different stats, aren't they? Because I think a lot of people bought it, but I wonder how many people kept it and kept at it. So I completely agree with Vike, though. I think it's the most accessible out of FromSoft's games. The argument could be made that maybe Bloodborne is more accessible. But I think what Vike said nailed it on the head, that you've got the option, you've got so many options of things that you can do to level up that doesn't feel like grinding because you're still exploring. So I think that helps. And yeah, I think it's the most accessible. I think the open world lends itself so much because people are familiar with open worlds, where they might not be familiar with a normal FromSoft formula, where, you know, the normal FromSoft formula is you walk into a dungeon, there's a blocked door, you go, okay, I can't go that way now. You do a little bit of exploring, you make your way through the back of that locked door that gets you back to that lantern, and then you're like, right, I'm good to keep exploring now. You take that shortcut you just made, and you keep going until you get to the boss, and that's how you go. And Elden Ring has that, but that open world just makes that a little bit more accessible and familiar for people. I think it's, if you're going to stick with it, yes, I think it's a good fit. But you need to be willing to commit to it and understand it's not like a 20-hour thing that you're going to be able to do, especially if you want to finish it. And yeah, I would think that if you get 20 hours in, you have the skill then to continue moving forward and getting and finish it. You've got the knack. Yeah. You just need to stick with it.
And think of it this way. One, I think the game gets easier as you go on, personally. And two, I reckon 99% of people that finished Elden Ring would tell you that it was worth it.
Yeah, Daniel. Agreed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Okay. What type of game genre mashups would you like to see more of?
I was thinking about this. For me, I think first-person shooter and stealth would be good. Stealth, I think, is heavily...
Sorry, isn't that Splinter Cell?
Well, Splinter Cell's third-person.
First-person. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, a shooter... Because, look, first of all, stealth is heavily, like, underrepresented. Like, stealth is essentially dead without maybe Hitman. That's all that's left. Splinter Cell's gone. Metal Gear's gone. You know, even your things like Tenchu and whatever, you know, Thief, whatever, they're all gone. Last of Us, I think, is still there. I consider Last of Us somewhat of a sales game. But
what about Deathloop?
Deathloop, but see, stealth's just an option in Deathloop.
What about Plague Tale that came out? That game of the year. Game of the year recognition.
Yeah, yeah. Plague Tale.
I reckon stealth is an option in Last of Us, though.
But you can't really play the game. The resources are too limited to go guns blazing.
What about Sniper Elite 5? Technically a stealth game?
Yes, technically. But, you know, I mean that more up and close stealth, like the Metal Gear and the Splinter Cell, where you're passing around people, you're maybe...
Ghost of Tsushima?
Nah, I wouldn't call Ghost a stealth
game. No?
Nah. Like, there is stealth mechanics, but it's not a stealth game primarily. That's what I mean.
Yeah, they put more focus into the sword fighting than
Yeah, but well, do you know
the ghost? Because you're the ghost who's like
that's true.
You're in and out because ninja, you're a ghost. Yeah.
The funniest thing, Dan, do you know what popped up into my head when I thought of this genre? I don't know what the genres are, but what I was thinking of the game I wanted most. Do you remember in the Modern Warfare 2 campaign where there's that mission where you're just soap, you've got nothing, and it's first person, you're sneaking past and you're just getting things like metal fan blades.
That's stealth. And,
yeah, and that's kind of what I want, where it's like you have, it's not even an RPG, but it's like you're upgrading your equipment and make a full game of it where it's a really good story. It's that first person stealth style. You're just grabbing tools and things and you're making them yourself. It's very guerrilla warfare. And it's like all weapons and equipment are like OSP, which is what Metal Gear did as well. Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, where you start off with nothing. You have no weapons, no rations, nothing. And you gather it throughout the story. You go to hidden places or here and there, and you gather the equipment on-site procurement, right? But I would love that in that first-person genre. And it doesn't have to be Call of Duty or some, like, but it can be like a shooter where you're gathering things on-site and you're, you know, making guns and very guerrilla warfare. That's actually what I had so much hope for Homefront the Revolution, because I wanted like a Far Cry guerrilla mix where you're being invaded, you're in the urban streets and you're trying to like gather resources and equipment to make these little RC cars or put like all these little guerrilla attachments. You know, it's not like you're getting a red dot sight, but you're getting a piece of glass and you put, you know what I mean? Like it's, I wanted that sort of thing. So that's sort of how I would answer that question.
Jordan?
I think we've answered this question before, and one that comes to my head is I want a FromSoft Lord of the Rings game. That would be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I would also love more, well, not maybe not more, but just a PlayStation Shameless Pokemon clone. That could be good.
Mm.
I know Ni No Kuni was like one go at that, and Ni No Kuni 2. It was animated by Studio Ghibli, so it was really pretty. So that was fun, but a mashup. I'd love more like medieval games, but I'd love more games like God of War, where you've got really, really satisfying combat with RPG elements where you're doing that sort of thing. I think famously now, The Witcher didn't do it for me. Combat was just like the world is something that I would think I would love, but the combat would just didn't do it for me. So I want like an action RPG merged with like a really deep epic fantasy. That would be good. They're the main things that come to my mind.
I'd like a, you know how the rhythm games are getting a bit of more attraction with Metal Hellsinger and a few others, and
Hi-Fi Rush
recently, which is doing very well. I'd like a rhythm racing game. What do you think?
Oh yeah, I can see it. I can already
like
see
a Wipeout with rhythm.
Yeah, it'd something have to
be
like
neon,
that,
wouldn't it? It'd be neon.
Yeah, it could be neon. Yeah.
Lots of neon blues and fuchsias.
Yeah. I'd also like some more comedy. That's a genre that just sort of is a bit dead. How many? I can think of a handful. I can't think of many that do it well.
The first thing I thought of was South Park.
South Park, yeah. High on
games
Life
that make
recently.
You laugh out loud. Laugh out loud sort of thing. Yeah, High on Life, yeah.
So there are a couple of genres that I'd like to see. Has the video game adaption curse been broken with The Last of Us show?
Go, Jordan.
Do you think there was a curse? I think it's a bit silly, the whole curse thing.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if there was a... the curse is obviously just like because there was no good video game adaptations. I think it definitely shown that it can be done as long as you have the money behind it. Like, it's not like this is HBO making it. Like, it's not Paramount or Lionsgate or anything like that. Like, it is HBO making this, who have way more hits than misses. So I think it shows that if you have the right, and it's Neil Druckmann behind it as well. So I think it shows that if you have the right money, the right people behind it, and the right care for the source material, that you can do it. And I think it also shows that Last of Us was just so, it was made to be adapted. Like, it's essentially like it's a series on its own, like a TV show on its own that you play through, and that, like, it's so easy to lift it and then move it because there's so many things that it's so translatable. Does this mean that every adaptation from here is going to be good? Nope, definitely not. Do I think that like I'm still trepidatious about the God of War adaptations and the Horizon adaptations because they could still be bad, but it definitely shows that, yeah, with the right time, money, and people behind it, you can do a good job with it. Yeah.
I agree with Jordan. I was going to say the same things. Essentially, the difference, the reason, like, I look at what's the difference in Last of Us and its success versus any other property. Maybe Sonic excluded, because Sonic is somewhat successful, but it's just that the Jordan said those three things. They actually respect the source material and treat it as seriously as it does. They actually collaborate and bring in the original creators and those who are closely tied with the game. And then they also had a lot of money and resources behind it, because this is what I see with a lot of video game IPs. A lot of these Hollywood directors, they're just like, oh, cool, video game, something the kids will love. They don't take it seriously, a serious narrative. They think they know better than the creator, so they all put their own spin on it. They'll put their own, like, spin on the story. They'll put their own take on it because they think they're better, that they can make it more serious because video games aren't serious. We can make it a movie quality, as if movie stories are better than video game stories, because, you know, there's that elitism, right? And then they're a bit lazy with the money. Like, HBO is a serious studio. They only, you know, take on projects with serious money resources. So they did that. They brought on Neil Druckmann, closely working with the game, to the fact that they were allowed to deviate from the source material. So they seriously respected the source material, but because of that, and because there was that creative narrative influence, they were allowed to deviate, right? So when it comes grounded with respect for the source material and the games, then everything else can fall into place. But I feel like a lot of these video game adaptations...
But it's not just that. There's been plenty of movies that have had respect for the source material, but they still haven't been good.
Like what, though? I wouldn't say Dragon Ball respected the source material. That was just a cash-in. Like, I wouldn't really say Uncharted in any way respected the source material. They just, all they wanted was a cool plane sequence. That was the whole movie. Just a cool plane sequence and Tom Holland. They did not respect the source material and the story. What's that? And Mark Wahlberg. That was such a stupid movie. That was that story. Yeah. That, I don't know. It was just a cash grab. They just didn't really treat it as seriously as they could have.
Yeah, Dan, what is
that? Assassin's Creed, that respected the source material, and that was a pretty bad film, unfortunately.
But they didn't have the three things. They didn't have a creator close with it, right? Yeah, and they took the Animus.
I reckon that's a harder one to translate too.
Yeah.
The problem with that movie, the actual olden day stuff was pretty good. It was the futuristic stuff that let it down.
Which goes with what I've always said about Assassin's Creed. Worst thing they ever did was include this Animus crap. If they just kept it to, like, just anthology series and just didn't even
think
about...
Yeah, but that's some of the best parts of the games. Spike will agree with me, Jordan.
Yeah. I think we all agree that, like, the part of the unique greatness of Assassin's Creed was... And I remember Jordan mentioning this, like, a few episodes ago. He's like, Assassin's Creed 1, that moment when you see the writing on the wall, when you see the Animus and all that, it's really cool. But Jordan's right, where it's kind of hard to translate that to a movie. I just feel like they didn't take that part seriously enough, where they just... you know, shoehorned in the Animus and the real life story to focus on maybe the assassin's part. But I agree with you, Dan, but it still didn't have all three, where it was full seriousness. They brought in people and writers and creators who know the games intimately rather than from an outside point of view, and then also putting serious money into it, which maybe they did. But I definitely think there wasn't that grounded direction from a person who intimately knew the game well. Like a Neil Druckmann, that's probably the thing. I just think that video games still, they don't take it serious. Like they are now, like you're saying, Dan Allen, like, I don't know why I called you Dan Allen, but why? I have no idea. But like with The Last of Us, they're taking it seriously. Maybe it's a maybe it's like an inflection point. Maybe people are going to be like, oh yeah, when like Sonic, Mario, because Mario looks like they're doing it. They're actually respecting it. They're taking it seriously. Looks like Mario. Yeah, it looks like Mario. It doesn't look like the freaking, you know, with the two live the action John one and the Goombas. Yeah, it actually looks serious, and that's where it is. It's a seriousness, and you take it. Yeah, I don't know.
I liked Angelina Jolie's Tomb Raider films back in 2003 or whatever it was. So the curse was broken then for me 20 years ago.
20 years ago. Like that was campy and great, but yeah, I don't know, Dan. Yeah, I
look, if you look at the stats, the average is like a 4 out of 10. When you look at all the movies put together. So that's where this curse thing comes from, because you had those Resident Evil movies, which were all bad, in my opinion. You had the Hitman movies, which were terrible.
Then you had
the Warcraft film that didn't do anything. They had a Max Payne film. They had a... What else did they
Max
have?
Max Payne's a great formula.
Remember the Doom film with The Rock? That was horrendous. Yeah. So
what was that one? Chronicles of Riddick. But I'll say, right... Here's the thing. It's not a curse. It's just
Vin Diesel's not an actor, by the way. He's a celebrity.
Oh, big take, Dan. The Fast Saga returns in Fast 10. Your seatbelts, Dan.
Nah, he's all right.
I'll say, you know, I see it like this, right? Let's forget the Nolan trilogy, but before the MCU, a lot of those comic book adaptations were done pretty poorly, right? Think about like Batman Forever and all that. It was just tacked on, no respect for the greediness, the darkness, or the seriousness of the source material of Batman. Or like Superman was okay, but they didn't really, it was either tacked on, Green Lantern was terrible.
I don't know about that, Vic. Michael Keaton's Batman was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good, but it wasn't.
The Superman movies from like, were they the 70s? They're fine. Like,
yeah. Like there was respect there, but then as soon as the MCU started and they said, okay, let's put comic books and the universe of a comic book where they all have different comic books and then they all come together in a crossover event in a Justice League page comic book.
Sorry, you said Iron Man. It was actually the Hulk where it started.
Iron Man was the launch of the MCU.
Wasn't Iron Man in the Hulk?
Yeah, Iron Man. No, Iron Man popped up at the end of the Hulk, and that was
Iron Man was first.
Was that after Iron Man?
Yeah, okay. Iron Man 1, the ending was Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury talking about the Avengers. Like that was insane. But I'm just saying, like as soon as they started doing it, then DC, then I don't know. Everyone's trying their own bloody universes, like the Dark Picture. Oh, what is that? The one with Tom Cruise?
the Monsterverse.
All this sort of stuff. But it's the MCU that really kicked it off, and that's where they say, "Oh, it can be successful if we take it seriously."
Can't keep talking
and
about MCU. It's just a terrible.
MCU though. Sucks now. It's terrible. But I'm saying the Infinity Saga, they did something well. I see that as the launching point with The Last of Us. People are going to see how wildly successful that is, and they're going to realize, crap. Maybe we can take this stuff seriously and start actually putting money, talent, getting the creators, getting those people in and actually getting good stories and actually, you know, do you know what I mean?
Well, you want to know some Mario upcoming movies that are video games that are upcoming? Sonic the Hedgehog 3, Borderlands, Gran Turismo, Death Stranding, Days Gone, Firewatch, Five Nights at Freddy's, Ghost of Tsushima, Just Cause, Metal Gear, Minecraft, Mortal Kombat 2, Pac-Man, Saints Row, Sifu, Space Invaders, Ghost Recon, Splinter Cell, Yakuza.
See, they can all be adapted. They're fairly adaptable games. Even GT. I'm excited for that movie.
About Pac-Man.
Pac-Man's a weird one. I don't know how they
Pac-Man, Pac-Man, isn't that already done? Pixels? Adam Sandler?
Pixels. That was a good movie.
Wasn't Peter Dinklage, wasn't he in Pixels?
Mike, did you just say Pixels was a good movie?
I enjoyed it.
Oh, man. Hold on. Are you sure about that?
Oh, I just am having a good time with it, mate.
Okay. All right, we'll do a couple more questions here and then we'll do another Q&A down the line. Because we're just not going to get to them. But Can you guys review Immortals Phoenix Rising, please?
Do you know what the funny thing about this question is, Dan? I had notes, extensive notes, for Immortals Phoenix Rising when we were going to do a review, but then I don't think we ended up doing one. But I think I deleted the notes. I put like 30 hours. Maybe 60. I'm crazy about this. Yeah, I did, Dan. Yeah. What for? Oh, because you gave me an early review code. So I like reviewed the game. I had the notes and everything. It was pages of notes on my iPhone.
Oh, we might have to. Oh, you deleted
it. No, I think I deleted it. I'll have to look. But
well, come on, give us some of your memories. Quick 2 minutes.
I actually thought it had a lot of potential. I actually enjoyed the game a lot. I thought it was far, far too bloated, though. But I actually thought it had a lot of potential, charming story. That was the first game, Dan, I played on my LG CX. And it was the most beautifully colorful game. It was just such a beauty to play that game. To me, it's still one of the most beautiful games I've ever played. Not only has amazing graphics, still got that Fortnite type graphic, but it was just its amazing color and vibrancy to the world that I still remember to this day. I loved that game in terms of how good it looked. But yeah, I thought it was pretty good. It had everything you wanted, but just far too bloated.
All right, so, last one. I was listening to episode 75, Is Far Cry 6 Good or Bad? That's what I titled. That's what I titled that episode. Is Far Cry 6 Good or Bad? How the hell can Vike think that Ghost of Tsushima is not exactly like a Ubisoft game? Is he kidding himself?
But it's like a Ubisoft game with a bit more polish and care.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with Ubisoft, right? I actually think Far Cry 3 was phenomenal. They actually set the trend, right? There was a trendsetter, right? Because they actually perfected the checkbox activity-based open world, and everything about it was fun. I loved climbing every tower. I loved clearing every base and every fortress. I don't think fortresses in Far Cry 3, but every base. I loved like doing all the activities. I loved hunting for every animal, upgrading every pouch and pellets and whatever I had. I absolutely adore the game. One of the best games I've ever played. But after Far Cry 3, there was Far Cry 4, Watch Dogs, Assassin's Creed. They all just melded into the same... The crew, Dan. The crew had towers. So it just melded into...
They didn't iterate, they repeated.
They did not iterate. Ghost of Tsushima, it had a lot of those checkboxy activities. But if you really think about it, okay, you had the pools to upgrade your health. You had the poems to upgrade your resolve. Yeah, the bamboo was resolve. I forgot what poems did. They upgraded your health, they upgraded your stamina or whatever. But they had certain activities, but they were all meaningful. It wasn't overdone. Secondly, the HUD and the UI in Ghost of Tsushima was phenomenal. It was very minimalist. You had the wind. I thought that was so cool. You look at a Ubisoft and it's like you're on an iPhone with all these bloody apps and all these like UI all over the freaking wall with health on the left and pointers and checkboxes and all this stuff. The gameplay was a lot of fun, really good. Yes, there was bases. I agree with that. But they had the same thing where if you do the base, it opens up the rest of the map. But they did it so well. Like, they controlled themselves. They didn't just flood you with all of that. And it had a phenomenal story, I think.
Yeah, but I could say the same about Far Cry 6. It didn't have a big HUD. Yeah, the map had a few icons on it. But the HUD was...
But how many activities were there, Dan?
You don't have to do them.
How many?
You don't have to do them.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But that's why I'm saying Ghost was... I would say, yes, Ghost and Ubisoft are quite similar. But everything... Ghost did, or everything Ubisoft did, Ghost did better and did it more in a more controlled way. And the combat was uniquely fun with different stances, you know, bow and arrow. The stealth was good. And the story was great. The world was phenomenal.
Jordan, do you agree with that?
I agree with what the guy said, like whoever the listener was who said that, like, yeah, it's still a Ubisoft game, but it has a bit more care and polish, and it gave you a bit more of a reason to go and do it. Like, I don't know, like going to do the poems and then doing like following the foxes to go do the shrines. Like, it just felt a bit more meaningful than just like go here and tick a box. As much as that's what it was just a bit more thematic and didn't feel as jarring as like it can in other games. I haven't played Far Cry 6, so, and I haven't played a Ubisoft game since The Division 2 in like 2019. So it's been a while since I've even gone near one.
I'll also say, in
Ubisoft games, just lastly, it just feels like a lot of the time it's like, go here just to do this.
Also, in Ghost of Tsushima, it's a foggy map. You open it up, there is question marks everywhere. So, to be honest,
way less so.
They are very similar.
They are very similar.
I just felt like there was more purpose and meaning behind the things in Ghost.
Yeah, like you think about the Far Cry 6 activities, there were some of them you're just collecting, you're just doing them to get some certain parts. Like, and then
versus a tale in Ghost of Tsushima with a 9-part side quest. Is that what you're comparing it to?
With story and
story
lore.
And characters.
Yeah, and like fantasy. But like here, it's just like, okay, go, you have to hit this radio tower and get to the other part within 2 minutes to get some spare metal parts so I can build a scope on the infinite amount of guns you have. Where Ghost of Tsushima is much more controlled, where everything had a story reason, there's only one weapon, multiple stances.
And they even had cool stuff like where you sit down and breathe, and what do you call that?
Yeah, the haikus. Yeah,
that was where you do the poems. You got to choose how you made the haiku. You got to choose how it was made.
I think there's just a bit of soul to it. That's probably the thing. It wasn't soulless.
They had those hidden boss fights. They were really cool.
I'll tell you what,
it is a Ubisoft game, though. Horizon.
It is.
What was it? I keep forgetting
Forbidden
the name.
Forbidden West.
That's not even like a glorified Ubisoft game. That's just a Ubisoft game, but with like a good story.
I agree. Yeah. Like I completely 100% agree with this guy that it is a Ubisoft type game where Ubisoft.
It's actually Christine, but yeah.
Yeah. There's just so much subtle differences and nuances. Because see, the thing with our critiques of Ubisoft is I don't want them to reinvent the wheel. I just want them to make it smoother. Make it better. Yeah. Stop bloating it. Yeah.
All right. Before I let you go, guys, what are you playing? We end this one. I'm currently about to play Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh,
when's the street date? Oh, when is it out already?
It's out Friday, very soon. It's out in 2 days of recording.
Is that with the early edition?
Yeah, with the 3-day early. Yeah. What about you, Jordan? Are you gonna beat Dead Space before?
So I think I'm at chapter 6 of Dead Space.
Yeah,
I forgot how good it was.
Yeah,
I forgot how amazing it is. And it's so much better on, like, the remake is just so much better because, like, as much as everything's brown, at least you can, like, see the detail in the brownness. You know what I mean? The one on PS3 where it was just, like, everything was just brown and dark and gross, whereas now it's, like, detailed gross and brown.
I know what you mean. It sounds silly, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. And, like, it's just cool that, like, you're going through this ship and it's, like, This is where you are. You're on the ship and you're traversing through it, and it's great. It's real good.
Yeah. It's just fun. And Vike, what are you going to be playing?
I'll probably just wait for Hogwarts, to be honest.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right, guys. It's been a pleasure to be here with you today. Any final words?
Keep sending your questions in.
Yeah, keep sending them in.
We're going to do another one.
The habit of answering a few every episode, maybe, to whittle through them.
Or even to have periodic Q&A episodes. Maybe once every 2 months or something, where
we only got through 25%, so we've still got a lot to go.
Yeah, so keep sending him through on Instagram, or Instagram's probably the best actually. But
yeah.
Beautiful. All right, beautiful. Love you, and I'll see you
later. PlayStation.